You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
The presenting complaint is so often the same. My cat is peeing all over the house, in the sink, on the clothes, even on me while I'm in the bed. Or, my cat must be constipated. It keeps going to the litter box over and over again, and nothing's coming out. Sound familiar? The cat may be suffering from a potentially life-threatening condition known as feline lower urinary tract disease. Dr. Mark Osierno is an expert in this perplexing disorder. He's a researcher in kidney disease at the Louisiana State University School of Veterinary Medicine and has developed the only dialysis center for pets in the southeastern United States. He's also an associate professor. We'll be hearing from Dr. Osierno right after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
At Petco, we really love pets. There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
"So how do you feel about cat condos?"
we can say from experience,
"Feels like home for her."
Enter the code DOCTOR10, DOCTOR, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
There's a movement afoot, ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code DOCTOR, D-O-C-T-O-R, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience?
We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds.
InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service.
We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information.
There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed or email us at
PetLifeRadio.com.
Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
This year, Americans are expected to spend a jaw-dropping $36 billion on their pets. From lighted leashes to high-end spa products, the discriminating pet owner can find just about anything to pamper his or her pet. Hi, this is Michelle Fern. Join me every week for Best Bets for Pets, where we'll talk about the latest pet products and talk to the companies that make them. Best Bets for Pets. Every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Mark, I just saw a kitty like this the other day, and it drives owners and me crazy because I can never say, is it a bladder infection? Is it a urinary tract issue? What is? And we've heard before of FUS, feline urological syndrome. So is feline lower urinary tract disease and this the same?
You know, it's interesting. We've changed the name of the disease as the years have gone on, and you think that that would mean that we know more about it. But in actuality, I think we actually know more about it than when we started in terms of getting a better handle on it. It's really a frustrating disease because it accounts for almost 5% of all cat visits into our clinics. And yet, it's one of those diseases which we don't have a magic pill for. We don't have a magic cure for in terms of treating these pets.
And it's terrible. You never know, is this going to be a kitty who's just straining, or is it going to be blocked and end up in death?
Right. So, you know, when we talk about feline lower urinary tract disease in cats, we're really talking about several different diseases. One of them is feline idiopathic cystitis, which actually makes up most of these cats. But that's a diagnosis of exclusion. So first we have to make sure, do they not have bladder stones? Because if they have bladder stones, and that only makes up about 15% of these cats, so it's a relatively small minority, that needs to be treated differently. That's a surgical problem, and once corrected, those cats do great. The one thing that many people jump to is urinary tract infections, when in reality, urinary tract infections in these cats that are straining to urinate, urinating around the house, peeing in our beds, is actually really uncommon. It makes up less than 2% of all the cats with these clinical signs. And these clinical signs, I mean the straining to urinate, the blood in the urine, the inappropriate urination, that is so common that there's actually a word for it now. It's called periuria. So essentially, when these kitties come in, there's a series of steps that need to be done in order to eliminate these other conditions, the stones, infections, things like that.
So I have a client comes through the door with a kitty, okay? The cat is peeing all over the house. Maybe I'm seeing blood, maybe not. Yes, it must be a bladder infection. What should be some of the steps that expect a veterinarian to take?
The first thing I always do is to take an x-ray. I think it's the most useful piece of information that we get, or an ultrasound. And I think that ultrasound, although less commonly available, is even more beneficial. So what that lets me do is it lets me rule out, could this be a stone? Because 15% of cats will have stones, and again, that's a separate problem. And really, that often is the only thing I do other than to get a urine analysis. In other words,
now, some people would say, couldn't you just feel the stone? Why do you have to take an x-ray?
Yeah, these stones can be really tiny. So the one thing nice about cat bellies is that you can kind of put your hands on them and feel all kinds of things. But these stones can actually be the size of sand particles, a little bit bigger. And sometimes they can be actual stones, but a lot of times they're just kind of grit. And that's why we need a urine analysis and an x-ray. Rule out a stone, rule out that there's some sort of sandiness component, you know, a sand-like material in the bladder. And that's a separate problem. But again, that's the minority. Most of the cats that we're going to see with this problem have what we call feline idiopathic cystitis.
So you have this kitty and you take a look at the bladder, and sometimes, and I just had this the other day, the cat's coming in with these signs of straining to urinate in the cat box. I can tell it's not constipated, but oh, by the way, it's an obese cat, so I really can't feel the bladder. Are obese cats more prone to this?
Well, if you look at studies that have been done in this, apparently those cats that are at increased risk are not necessarily obese ones, or at least they didn't seem to be. They tend to be indoor cats, cats that use a litter box only, that spend more than 20 or so hours a day indoors, that sleep inside with us. And then there are the cats that have had geographic moves. In other words, their owners have moved them. I almost think that sometimes cats would like us to sell them with the furniture in the house, that they would adopt better to new owners than they would the move. The move can be a very, very stressful thing to a cat, and we're going to talk a lot about stress later on. And the other thing that seems to increase risk is dry food, but obesity did not seem to increase it. I think honestly what we're seeing is indoor cats tend to be obese because if they're like my cat, who's ancient, they sleep a significant portion of the day, and that's not what cats do in the wild. They chase things.
And now they're just chasing dust if they're lucky.
Well, so, you know, my cat, I like to joke, sleeps 23 and a half hours a day and spends the other half hour a day eating.
And then maybe pooping and peeing in the right spot.
Exactly.
So you're saying this is very common. It's mostly indoor kitties, and stress seems to set these cats off. So again, if you could kind of go through the signs, what someone may see, and go, do I need to watch or do I have to take this cat in?
That's a good question. So often what we're seeing is straining in the litter box, and probably the most common complaint I hear when people come in, and I know our emergency hears this all the time, my cat is constipated because he's in the litter box straining and sometimes vocalizing. And so people have a kind of a hard time figuring out exactly what their cat's doing in the litter box, but they assume it must be constipation. If it's a female cat, that's something that might be able to wait. But male cats tend to obstruct. because the urethra is so long and so narrow. And in a male cat, this is an emergency. I've seen it too many times where people wait until the last minute to bring their cat in, and we've had actually cats die before they got here. And so in a male cat, if you see the signs of feline, idiopathic cystitis, straining in the litter box, vocalizing, bloody urine, inappropriate urination, that really should be treated as an emergency in the pet brooding right away.
Do the signs progress very quickly? Because oftentimes, I watched it overnight, and now they bring it in because, it didn't seem that bad, and now this poor little kitty is just flat out.
It does progress very quickly. You can imagine if someone were to stop you from peeing, how long would your bladder be able to fill up? Once the bladder fills up, the kidneys start malfunctioning. And so this pressure backs up into the kidneys, and once the kidneys shut down, you can't clear waste, you can't balance your electrolytes and fluids, and the consequences can be catastrophic. And so, yes, I've often heard this. We left this morning, and maybe the cat was in the litter box a couple of times. Tonight we came home, and kitty is flat out. They come in, and it's a real emergency.
With this being so common in indoor cats, right now, most people, I would say, in the United States have been told, and I tell my clients, if you want your cats to live a long time, decrease chances of having altercations with cars or the cat down the street getting into a cat fight or being exposed to various diseases, keep that cat indoors. So we're doing that, but increasing the chances of this feline lower urinary tract disease. What can we do to optimize the chances it won't have it?
Well, that's a good question. So one of the things, I fully agree with you. My cat is an indoor cat, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I actually got him because he got run over, and he was found on the highway. And I assume that to mean that he failed the outdoor test. That's what I tell people. but all cats, I think, if left outdoors long enough, are going to fail the outdoor test. There's perils. On the flip side, cats are different creatures than dogs. So they have a little bit of a difference. So one of the things, we bring them into our home, and, historically, cats and people have not had the same bond that dogs do. So now we've brought them into this indoor environment where they're used to climbing up, and they're used to maybe, being up in trees and chasing things. They were the predator. Now they're living alongside with us. And to make matters worse, what do most of us have in our homes with our cats? Well, the arch enemy, the dog. Now the dog, the arch enemy, is actually living with us in our house. And this may seem perfectly normal to you and I, but to the cat, some cats, this can be a very, very stressful event. One of the things that I immediately talk to about when they come in with one of these pets is I send them out into the waiting room with this questionnaire, if you will. And it's two pages, double-sided, a questionnaire that asks all kinds of questions about the household. It asks things like access to resources and things that we might not think about, like the litter box, the food bowls. Who's in the house? What are the comings and goings of the house? And it goes through a whole list of questions so that when I get handed this questionnaire, I can very, very quickly leaf through and see what would be stressful if I were a cat. Because cats are not little dogs. They are quite a bit different. And we actually make great use of those. I'll give you a perfect example. I had a resident come to me with one of these cats. It was obstructed. We spent a long time getting the urinary catheter in it. And I said, did you get a history? And they said, absolutely. I said, is there anything in the history that's worrisome? And they said, no. And I said, where's the questionnaire? And they said, well, I didn't have them fill one out because it's an emergency. I said, well, go back and have them fill out the form. And in the period of time that they filled out the form, I learned that this woman had recently taken in a rescue kitten. And this kitten had gotten in the habit of jumping on the cat's back, the cat that was blocked, and riding it around like a horse. And the kitten thought this was great fun, and the owners thought this was very, very funny. But when I questioned them further, the cat signs started almost immediately after this kitten was introduced into the home. And so that event, that bringing of the kitten into the home, which seemed so benign, really triggered something in this cat. It was a very stressful event. What we're learning about these cats that suffer from idiopathic cystitis is, if you measure their epinephrine levels, which is basically the fright or flight response, it's abnormally high in these cats. And if we stress them, if you do an experiment where you stress them, it goes up and it stays up for very, very long periods of time, whereas a normal cat, you stress them just like a person, you know, like a boo behind your back, you'll get this immediate response where epinephrine is released and then it goes away. Well, these cats, it doesn't go away. It stays up for very, very long periods of time. And so these cats are living, if you will, in a constant state of heightened alert. And there have been experiments done where they've actually measured this neurotransmitter involved in fright or flight in the brains of these cats. And these cats are not the same as you, I, and other cats. If they were people, we would say they had an anxiety disorder.
It sounds like they need Xanax.
Exactly. So these cats have an anxiety disorder, and if they were outside, they would probably be on top of a tree staring down. You know, these would be the very nervous cats. But now we've taken them indoors. They're living with people who they're kind of suspicious about. Maybe they're living with a dog. You know, the arch enemy is right there with us. And we don't have a tree that we can climb up and watch over our domain from. And so these cats are suffering from a bit of an anxiety disorder. And so one of the things I do to get at the root of this anxiety is to analyze the home life of the cat.
And so you're a psychoanalyst besides being a veterinarian.
Well, you have to be because, you know, these cats have an issue. And there definitely are other issues with these cats. Their bladders are not the same as other cats. The mucus layer that they produce on the inside of their bladder is not the same as other cats. But as we learn more and more, the thinking is that all of this relates back to stress and anxiety. And so the things like bringing a cute kitten into the home mixes up the whole environment for these cats. They get very, very stressed out.
Oftentimes people will say, how can my cat be stressed? It has that best possible life. But yes, you're bringing up some great points. I recently did a really stupid move myself because I have three cats. One of my cats is a definite stress monkey. And a friend of mine had a cat tree that she no longer had a cat. Really nice cat tree scratching post. Here, it's yours. And I should have known better, but I brought it home and put it out. The cat seemed to like it. The cats were playing on it. Everything was fine. And then I noticed on not one, but two pieces of my antique furniture in the front room had been christened by my cat. So yes, very happy. So I should talk to you next time before I do something.
And some of the things that we analyze are silly things, but they're very important to the cat, like access to food. So my particular cat at home gets stressed by nothing. Absolutely nothing bothers that cat. And I will tell you that at times he jumps up onto the dog's bowl and eats the dog's food, and at times the dog reaches over and empties the cat's bowl. Does not bother him one bit, but some cats would be very stressed by this, that the dog is eating my food. Right?
So what can you do? If you already have the pet, do you give away the dog, give away the cat, or do you just put it on medication?
Well, the cat would both get rid of the dog, right? But I think there are other things you can do, and one of the things you could do is if it bothered the cat, you put the bowls in an area where it can't be disturbed, someplace the dog can't easily get to, on top of a piece of furniture, like, for example, a washer or dryer, where the dog can't easily get up there, but the cat can, and eat undisturbed. If you have two cats, then there should be two sets of water bowls and two sets of food bowls, because sharing amongst cats is not necessarily natural either. And so when it comes to litter box, we have the cat plus one rule. If you have two cats, there should be three litter boxes. That's really a big deal to cats. They're very, very fastidious creatures. I think everyone at some point has walked into a public restroom and said, uh-uh. But for cats, this is a big issue. They're very clean animals. They're continuously licking themselves, cleaning themselves, grooming themselves, and then they have to go use a litter box that somebody else has already made a mess in. They're not going to do it. And the litter box has to be somewhere undisturbed. I learned this lesson the hard way. A previous cat of mine, I had one of those automatic litter boxes that cleaned itself, and I happened to notice that occasionally it would go off while he was still in the litter box. And I honestly didn't have time to deal with it at that moment. Well, I found time once he decided to pee on my bed. The fact that the machine started going off while he was taking care of business just made him angry and stressed, and he was going to get his point across, and he did very quickly, and I fixed the machine.
They're not very subtle, but it's an effective way of letting you know.
Exactly. They get their point across. And so somewhere where, you know, the air conditioner is not going to suddenly turn on, someplace where the dog is not going to bother them while they're taking care of business. And if you have an automated litter box, make sure that it's working properly, or you'll end up with your bed peed on like I did. That's really, really important to them. And there should be extra litter boxes because cats don't like to share that particular resource, if you will.
And the litter boxes should not be right next to each other. So as we talk about next, I'm chatting right now with Dr. Mark Asierno. He is an expert in the perplexing disorder of feline lower urinary tract disease. We're going to be right back after this short break and talk about things like diet and how we can hopefully prevent the problem. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to florop.com and use the code DR20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com, code word DOCTOR and the number 20.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. It's the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Mark, you make me feel so good that I'm not the only one who every once in a while has this brain lapse of, oh yes, the cat box is not working, or maybe you shouldn't bring in a previously used cat tree. Diet. Oftentimes people are saying, well, I am feeding my cat a just optimal diet. It's a premium diet. How can it have this problem? Does diet really have much of an effect?
It's a good question. And it may not have to do as much with the content of the diet as whether it's wet or dry. Now, there are some cats that are dry cats, and there are some cats that are wet food cats. My cat is a dry food cat. I have tried feeding him wet food, and he looks at you like, who did this in my bowl? You know, he's just not going to eat it, and he gets kind of angry about it.
And pees on your bed.
Well, I didn't get peed on my bed, but he definitely, you know, I got the meow. You know, what is this mess in my bowl, and I'm not eating it. You know, so my cat is a dry food cat, and I consider myself fortunate because I got to get in here early every morning, and I do a drive-by. Basically, I scoop food, and I dump it in the cat's bowl, and he is happy as could be. And the dog is happy, too, because he eats the leftovers. But there is a difference between cats that get wet food and dry food. Wet food requires a lot more effort in that there's a ritual involved. You really got to wash the bowl because it's dirty. and you've got to open a can and you have to spoon it out and put it in the dish. And you have to remember, cats were once worshipped, right, in ancient Egypt, and they have not forgotten this. And so they like to be served. And so there is this whole ritual of preparing the food, presenting it to the cat, putting it down, that may in fact decrease the incidence of idiopathic cystitis in cats. Now, the wet food is also helpful because it increases the moisture content. Cats don't drink a lot. I often tell people, if you see your cat drinking, there's probably something wrong. They're desert animals, and they get most of their nutrition, most of their water intake through food. So they're getting less food. The urine is going to be more dilute, and the bad stuff in the urine that may be irritating the bladder wall is going to decrease. But when they looked at studies, it's confounded by the fact that cats like to be served. And so even just providing them a small amount of wet food every day, that whole ritual of preparing it and presenting it to them, may increase the interaction between people and their cats and may decrease the episodes of idiopathic cystitis. And so wet food is often helpful in treating these cats if they will eat it. Now, the one thing I always warn people about is, like my cat, if you just put wet food down, they're going to think that something had an accident in their bowl and be very angry about it. What I always recommend is putting down the wet food and the dry food, and most cats will eventually start eyeing that wet food, and they will move over to it themselves, as opposed to quickly switching the food, which is more likely to actually cause an episode of idiopathic cystitis. And so there's this whole acclimation process with cats that you have to go through, completely different than dogs. If you were to take a dog and switch it to wet food, they would wag their tail and be just happy to be fed. Cats, they like a choice. And so if you give them the choice, most will eventually go to the wet food.
I knew I liked you because you're telling me exactly what I see every morning and evening with my own cats. Because, yes, there's three. They each have their little spots. I open up the can. You know, they have to each sniff it and then put it in their little bowls. And, yeah, if I'm running late, they don't appreciate it.
Exactly.
Does the type of food make a difference? Because I remember when I was in veterinary school, it was pounded into our heads that you didn't want to have fish-flavored foods. You had to be careful about the ash and magnesium in the food. Is that old time?
Well, you know, it's funny because I guess it was back in the 80s, was it, or 90s? It was the 80s that we took ash out of the food. And then in the 90s, we acidified food. And each time we patted ourselves in the back and we said, this is going to solve the problem. And part of the problem is, By decreasing certain components in cat food, we can decrease the number of crystals in the urine. And there was a thinking or a theory that crystals were causing the urethra to get irritated, and that was precipitating the episodes of idiopathic cystitis. When in fact, now we know that most cats at some point do in fact make crystals, but most cats don't get, 95% will never get idiopathic cystitis. And so it's now thought that those crystals are actually benign. And so rather than focus on the content of the food, really any wet food. As a matter of fact, one of those experiments that showed the whole process of preparing and serving your cat just even just a small amount of wet food, they were using a brand that I would certainly not consider premium and certainly was not formulated to decrease crystals, and yet those cats got better. And so honestly, I don't think that the composition of the food really makes a difference. And when we send, and I do this too, when we send owners home with, you know, supposedly diets that are less likely to form crystals, that's fine. It's not really what's helping us. What's probably helping us is the fact that it's in a can, that it's moist, that it's wet, that it's going to increase the water content, and that there's this whole ritual of feeding your cat.
So they say it's urinary safe. That's somewhat of a possibly misleading statement.
Let's just say it's a marketing statement.
Okay.
I certainly don't think it hurts.
All right. So canned food, at least some, is good for your cat. Getting it to drink water, if it will. With my three cats, one cat, I swear, I have never seen her little face in a water bowl. And then my baby female loves running water. I have a fountain, and she plays with it. She loves drinking water.
Those fountains are really good. What I find happens is, and this is from personal experience, is that eventually if you're not very, very careful with them, they can develop kind of a biofilm, if you will, and then the cats don't like them. So you have to be really, really careful with those and just keep them nice and clean and keep them well scrubbed. The other thing is some cats don't like to drink out of bowls when their whiskers touch the edges of the bowls. And my cat is actually one of those. I had to get an extra wide bowl because if you put it in a bowl where his face is kind of in there, He would only drink the very, very surface, and as soon as his whiskers started to get into the bowl, he would stop drinking. And so I always tell people to buy a big, wide bowl, something that looks bigger than your cat would need, because that keeps the whiskers from getting touched, and that disturbs some cats. They're kind of complicated.
It's tough being a kitty.
It is tough being. It's hard to look that relaxed.
So besides putting a cat on Xanax, and no, we're not putting cats on Xanax, what else besides the quiet cat box, someplace with an open lid, far away, the dog has been given away to the neighbors, I'm now living by myself,
yep.
What else can help in the home to help calm that kitty?
There's a couple of things. One is I always recommend that cats be given lots of play toys, and there are some better than others. There are some that are automated that spin around and your cat can chase them. That's probably fine. I've seen automated mice. I'm not really sure how those work because I was given one of my mouse. My cat had no interest in it at all. My favorite ones are the ones that dangle from, it's a stick and a string and something that looks like a mouse that dangles from the end of it, because it forces us to interact with our cats. And I think cats like the interaction with their owners. And the other thing it allows them to do, you know that thing where cats grab onto something with their front claws and they scratch it apart with their back claws? That's kind of a ritualistic beheading of a mouse. as silly as it seems, cats like to perform that ritual. And so doing this allows them, you know, you're dangling, you're bouncing it, then they attack it, and then they dig their hind legs into it. It gives them the opportunity to perform this kind of ritualistic act of killing something. Which,
I like it. I don't know what I'm doing, but it feels good.
It feels good. And they actually, and I don't recommend this to anybody, but in one study, cats that had access to mice, so please don't go home and release mice, but in this one study, cats that had the opportunity to kill mice actually were protected from getting feline idiopathic cystitis.
See if you agree with me. I've heard that the best diet for a cat is a blenderized mouse. So they knew something when they were in the wild. They knew what they were doing.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with cats are predators, and if they're in the home, they don't get a chance to act this out very often. And so giving them the opportunity to do it with a play toy is really pretty helpful.
Play toys are fun, and every cat's a little bit different as to what kind of floats their boat. What other things can we do?
Well, one of the things that I often do with these cats is pheromones, which so basically these pheromones are chemical signals that are secreted by cats and other animals in the wild, and basically it communicates a message to members of the same species. Cats actually secrete them in their facial scent glands, which is why some cats like to rub up against you. They're basically marking you as theirs, right? You belong to me, I'm going to mark you. And that provides them some comfort because the smell of them on you essentially makes them feel like, you know, you belong to them. Well, they make synthetic pheromones that you can actually spray either in the house, or they make ones that you plug into the wall and it just continuously releases. It doesn't have an odor that people can detect, but in studies, cats have felt that measure the response in cats. Cats seem to feel more calm and at home when they have that scent. And so they're not very expensive, and I often recommend that people try them. Some cats seem to respond better than others.
So a kitty presents to you, and you've done your behavioral background study, their psychological study, and, okay, you're going to be addressing these various things. You've taken your radiograph. There are no stones. You've done your urinalysis. There is no infection. Now what do you do?
Yeah, so basically we try to get into the home life as much as we can. We make sure that the water bowls are appropriate, the litter boxes are appropriate, that the cat high perches are good. Cats like to purvey their territory. So some place that the cat can perch, look out a window, or perch in a high point and look down on us, because they like doing that. We're living in their house, by the way.
Yes, I pay the mortgage.
Exactly. You just pay the mortgage, but the cat lives there. I usually recommend a change in the diet over a period of time to something like wet food. We try pheromones. And for cats that don't respond, I do, in fact, recommend medical therapy. And so there are some things that we do try to decrease the anxiety in these cats. Remember, the thinking is that they're suffering from an anxiety disorder. People who suffer from anxiety disorders get great relief from certain medications, and we've had some success using them in cats as well. Amitriptyline is one that we use commonly. And in one study, at least, there was a significant reduction in the number of cats that had relapses over the period of time when they're receiving the medication.
Is it going to now be a lifelong medication or just during the crisis?
It depends. So most of these cats will actually outgrow this problem of idiopathic cystitis over a number of years. This is really a disease of younger, what they call young middle-aged cats, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it's not usually lifelong. Sometimes we'll just do it for the immediate episode. But cats that continue to have problems with idiopathic cystitis, we will put them on amitriptyline for longer periods of time. And we've had some really good luck with it. That's one drug that we've looked at. There are others. But that's one that probably we have the most experience with. And so pharmacology does play a role. And then, you know, there's always the surgery to remove the penis on male cats. And I always use that as a last attempt. And the reason is really twofold. One is we haven't really addressed the fact that the cat is suffering from an anxiety disorder or appears to be suffering from an anxiety disorder. And we can address that through different ways. Environmental modifications, diet, pheromones, pharmacology. So just removing the penis of the cat doesn't necessarily solve any of those problems. We're just relieving a symptom. The other thing is that surgery is not without risk. These cats are now continuously at risk for infection because we've created basically an unnatural modification to the body. Do we do it sometimes? Absolutely. There are some cats that just don't respond to therapy, and the owner is at their wit's end and perhaps their financial end. And so surgery is usually the last step. But we have so many other options to go through before we get there that I would say about half to three quarters of the cats never get there to that point.
And their owners are very happy when we don't have to have our sex change operation.
Well, they are, right. Exactly. Exactly. And they're very happy when the bills stop. You know, the cat doesn't have to keep revisiting. Because even though a female cat may not obstruct, you know, a cat that's peeing around the house is going to generate lots of office visits and frustration for the owner and frustration for the veterinarian because, you know, owners are not happy with us when we can't solve their problems, and it's really understandable because nobody likes cat urine around the house.
Believe me, no. One of the things that I've noticed, and this is probably more anecdotal and I've never seen it confirmed, I've recently seen probably about 3 or 4 cats this week, and we just had a full moon. Does full moon have anything to do with this?
As far as I know, not. But it certainly does seem like diseases run in courses. You know, I can tell you that, you know, this week we'll see 10 of this, and next week we'll see 5 of that. It seems like we tend to see things in groups. I don't think that the moon has anything to do with it. I think it's coincidental.
Wow. We know that cats and dogs are very good for releasing and relieving our anxiety and our stress from our crazy worlds. Well, now it looks as though our cats really need us to decrease their stress. So they're not going to piss us off by urinating all over the house. We've been talking to Dr. Mark Osierno, an expert in feline lower urinary tract disease. Dr. Mark, thank you so much for being with us. You've given me a lot of good information, and hopefully our listeners also.
Well, thank you very much for having me today. I've really enjoyed it.
Please listen again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best pet owner that you can be. Thank you to the producer, Mark Winter, for putting on a great show. And if you have any questions, best person to ask about your particular pet is your primary care veterinarian. But you can always drop me a question at the pet doctor at Pet Life Radio, and I'll get back to you. So have a great week and give that kitty a hug. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.